He's the only place Becca thinks that double consonants are not for the ignoramus.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. This is episode 23 for the week or the day of April 6, 2008. We're two guys talking to everyone about anything. We're produced by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption. I'm the Penguin, and this is our roundtable discussion about baseball 2008, our baseball extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
Right. I'm here with my compadre Max.
I'm here.
And our regular contributor to the Mayhem, Manhattan Man.
How you doing?
I think this is number 7 for Manhattan Man. I'm not sure of that.
7, 8, 9. He's a regular.
He is irregular, but we can take care of that.
He should probably get billing on the CSA podcast website.
Absolutely. Well, he came up with our slogan.
That's right.
And after this last discussion that we had off channel, we definitely take the high road. There's no question.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then our voice of youth and inexperience, Booth Boy. We're all here together.
I'm telling you, inexperience has got to go.
Our voice of youth and knowledge.
That's the truth.
Our weather vane of hipness in the young world.
There we go.
I don't our think you cultural, want that one either.
Our cultural connoisseur.
You can't have a weather vane of hipness, can you? You can have a hip of weather vaneness, though.
I'll tell you what. He's the only place Becca thinks that double consonants are not for the ignoramus.
The BB and Booth Boy?
All right.
Well, welcome. We're here now. We did our National League in the last show, and now we're ready to tackle the American League.
The league where baseball is played.
The real league. All right, so let's jump out to the West first.
All right, we're going to American League West.
Right. You got the Angels, you got the Mariners, you got the A's. You got the
Rangers.
The Rangers, right. I knew there was another one.
There is another one. You know,
I can see why you'd forget them.
By the way,
forgettable.
I'm not saying we need more baseball teams, but 4-team divisions and 5-team divisions sucks.
You're right, it does. They should even that out. They should get 5 for everybody.
I don't know how, but that would require adding 8 more teams.
Well, then maybe they should just get rid of 2 or 3. That would be better.
Do not get rid of my Twins. The idea that they got rid of the Twins was stupid on its face.
I don't think they ever planned to. I think they just said that to scare people.
Yeah.
Because if you said we're going to get rid of the Marlins, nobody would have even burped. But when
the
you
Marlins
said
the and the
Twins,
Rays are the teams to get rid of.
Sure. But if you say the Twins, it makes people stand up and think.
These are my Twins.
There you go. So you got the Angels, the Mariners, you got the A's, you got the Rangers. You know, my opening comment about the Rangers is I can't believe that they took and they ruined Salt Lamacchia. This is a guy who had all his talent. They pick him up in a trade for Teixeira. And since the day he got to Texas, he's gone downhill. Now he's in the minor leagues.
You think that's just 2 weeks of slap your face and pay attention? Or do you think he really
is? I don't know. No. I mean, they were writing him up as like this guy with all this talent.
Yeah.
And he showed some of it.
I think it's a wake-up call.
Could be. It could be. But regardless, the Texas Rangers are not going to win anything out west.
But what?
They're not going to win anything out west.
But what? All right.
But the Angels or Mariners are, I think, right? One of those two clubs?
You know, this is a tough division for me. I'm thinking I don't like any of them. The Angels can clearly hit, and the Angels can clearly beat the Yankees on a regular basis. Felix Rodriguez is the best closer in the American League. Oops, did I say that? Yeah, I did. John Garland and Jared Weaver. I'm just developing a new theory, and I haven't thought this through very much, but tell me what you think.
They suck.
Measure a team by the number two starter. If your number two starter is Jared Weaver, you're in trouble. This is why I like the Braves a little bit.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Their number two starter is
Tim Hudson.
Or Hudson, yeah. The Angels are starting to look like they're getting old. You know, GA out in left field, I can't see him playing all that much out there.
He hit 297 last year.
Yeah, I know. And that was down from previous years, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go down more.
I don't know what they are, but he's got solid, solid numbers. He's a good ball player.
He also doesn't have much on the knees.
He's a DH batting fifth. You still got Vladdy. You got this guy.
You got Howie Kendrick. You got Esturis.
Shone
you got
Biggins.
Vlad. You got Shone. They're not old.
They've got the best closer. The problem is I'm not convinced that they have a starting pitching staff that's good enough to win a short series. They can get to the playoffs.
You don't like Weaver?
No.
I think that's sibling hatred. He just hates Jeff so much.
No, I watched Jared the other day, and I was not impressed. No, sorry.
Doesn't he look like – don't they look the same?
Oh, yeah.
They could be brothers. Oh, wait. They are.
I will take Eric Bedard and Felix Hernandez and Jared Washburn and Carlos Silva. I'm thinking – you know – there's an old saying in baseball. Maybe you've heard it. Good pitching will beat good hitting.
Uh-huh.
Actually, did you ever hear the Bob Veal quote about that?
No.
Remember Bob Veal?
I'm about to.
He used to pitch for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Bob Veal once said, good pitching will always beat good hitting and vice versa.
Yeah, I can see
that. One of my favorite quotes of all time.
Well, I personally think the Mariners have the better club.
I don't see a lot of hitting there outside of Itchy. Adrian Beltre, Jose Vidro, come on, batting third.
Yeah, but you know they're playing in that relatively
weak
hitter. Yeah.
Well.
You know, and they got the pitching, obviously, is much better.
Well, I think they're going to win 2-1.
Right.
But
yeah,
like JJ
I agree.
I like JJ Putz. I like both closers for the Angels and the Mariners.
Although Putz is hurt now. I don't know how long he's going to be out.
Oh, is that true? Okay.
Yeah, he's on the DL.
Well, that's
a stretched Putz.
Ouch. That could be. Painful. He has an inflammation on his right side.
They do really have one of the best two names in baseball.
Yeah?
Unieski Betancourt.
Unieski Betancourt is a great name. And J.J. Putz, huh? Who was the guy? Jeez, I don't remember who it was. And he had such a terrible injury. I can't remember that either.
Oh.
Who do you like in the AL West?
That's a tough call, but I like the Angels.
Why?
Because I like Weaver. I think he's a lot more than you.
Seriously, you think –
And I'm not just saying that because I paid a lot for him on the fantasy draft.
Well,
has nothing to do with that fact.
Is Jared Weaver a better pitcher than Felix Hernandez in the number two slot?
I think so.
Well, Felix Hernandez has absolutely no window whatsoever for a mistake. Like you said, 2-1. Jared Weaver's going to win some games 8-6.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And I think any team with Vlad on it is good. They got to be good.
He can
Howie Kendrick is one hell of a ball player, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I look at the A's with Rich Harden as their number two pitcher. And I'm wondering how the hell Joe Blanton became the number one pitcher for the A's.
Because Billy Beane gets to write books that are respected. So he only has to spend $1.87 on his frickin' club, and he sits on his laurels for 15 years. Well, but we don't spend any money. Well, you don't fucking win either.
It's true.
But we save
it's
money.
True. We save lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
They got more room in the foul area in that ballpark than most ballparks. It's ridiculous.
It's true. Vicente Padilla, how's that for a number two starter? So nobody's going with the Texas Rangers, I take it.
No, I don't think so.
I'll go pitching. I will take Putz if he's not terribly broken and the Mariners.
Really?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Mariners myself, like I said. But
wow.
I'm not so strong on that I couldn't be convinced that it's the Angels. And just because the Angels give the Yankees such a hard time every year.
Yeah, well, I think that the Angels manager is brilliant. I really, really like Socia a lot. I'm not convinced about John Garland. I think Eric Bedard is Cy Young caliber. They're going to win 2-1 a lot.
Yeah. They also have Lackey. I mean, I know Lackey's hurt. He's not going to be back until May 1st. But, I mean, they were talking about Lackey for a Cy Young possibly. So.
Well, yeah. But
I
would be a Cy Young candidate except that I don't have the arm.
Uh-huh.
You know, he doesn't have the arm either. He's broken.
Right.
I'll take the Halos because I don't believe Seattle has the bats.
It's fair.
Yeah, it is. I understand you saying that. Well, maybe one of those two will be the wild card.
Let's see. How did
Because the wild card that was going to go to the Tigers obviously is up for grabs.
No. The wild card in the American League will be the Red Sox.
Well, we'll get to the East in a minute. Let's talk about the Central.
Do we have to?
You got the Indians, the Tigers, you got the White Sox.
All right.
If we were doing this show last week, we would have all said the Tigers look great on paper. 6 days later, they look like they belong under paper.
Well,
right,
which...
but didn't somebody just say something about go slow, go slower than that?
Yeah, sure.
Judge
sure.
slowly. No more slowly than that. And I am going to pick the Tigers. Look at this. Now, according to the way my list has it, Kenny Rogers is your number two pitcher. If it was me, I'd call him your number five pitcher. But for this sake, number three is Bonderman, okay? Number four, your fourth best starter is Dontrell Willis in a pitcher's fucking ballpark. Your fifth best starter is Nate Robertson on a team in a big ballpark with a hell of a lot of hitters. Tell me you can go five deep in starting pitchers any place else in the American League like that.
No. Justin Verlander is a Cy Young candidate.
Absolutely.
Yep.
When we get around to picking the Cy Young, he's my choice.
The only problem with Rogers, besides the fact that he's like 43.
And a shithead.
Right. Is the fact that, I mean, he's another one of those guys who gets hurt. Or seems to get hurt pretty regularly.
Which is, this is my point about Pedro. You
right.
throw Kenny Rogers out. You throw Tom Glavine out. You throw Pedro out. It doesn't matter. That just moves Nate Robertson up to your number four starter. Nate
right.
Robertson is a quality major league pitcher in a pitcher's ballpark with a hitting team.
So why don't they have a win?
Duh.
Because of what I said before. No, more slowly than that.
Okay. Interesting little factoid. Watching the Tigers opening game on the extra innings package.
Yeah.
And
I'll give
Gary
you an extra innings package.
Extra innings package. And Gary Sheffield's up and he hits that ball out in the I forget exactly where it was, and he's trying for second, and he slides head first, and the announcer, the Detroit announcer, says, you know, he really shouldn't slide head first like that. He can hurt himself.
And he hurt himself.
He gets up, grabbing his hand, literally, and he tore the tendon in his finger.
Wow. Well, I was going to say that if there's one reason why the Tigers won't win, it's Gary Sheffield. The longer he stays away, the better they are.
You really think so? You think he's that much of a...
cancer in the clubhouse? Yeah.
Do you really? Wow.
Gary Sheffield?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Barry. He's no Barry Bonds.
You're right, but he's
bad. He's
a half a step.
I disagree. Jeff Kent. I think Jeff Kent's worse.
Jeff Kent.
I'll take Kent in a heartbeat over Sheffield every time.
Really? Oh, definitely not.
Wow.
When was the last time you heard Jeff Kent play the race card?
He doesn't like white people, I'm telling you. He doesn't play white people. I don't imagine Jeff Kent calling Joe Torre a racist because he doesn't play white people. Now, maybe that's just silly. All right, that's just silly. Never mind that at all. Yeah, all right, but Sheffield is an angry, angry man, and he makes people tense. And baseball is a game that you play 90% of the time at 80%. You can't be tense and play baseball. You have to relax. Baseball is zen. Gary Sheffield is not zen.
I think they got at least two problems. Ivan Rodriguez is done.
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar Renteria absolutely sucks. And those are important
in the American
problems.
League.
Of, what?
In the American League.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's played in the National League, he's done decently. But when he played that year in Boston, he was terrible. And now he had a horrible spring, too.
34 errors.
Hmm.
When he was a Sox.
Yep.
Well.
They couldn't wait to get rid of him.
That's interesting.
I think, you know, they talk about all that up the middle crap.
Yeah.
I think Ivan Rodriguez thinks he can leg out doubles and he can't.
He can still throw and he can still catch. And once he got off the steroids, the home runs went away. So, uh-huh. Yeah, there's a problem. But Rodriguez is batting eighth or ninth. You got Jock Jones, who's overrated. I'll grant you that. Renteria. That's an interesting point. Carlos Guillen, to tell you the truth, I'm a little confused between Carlos Guillen and Jose Guillen. Which one is the head case? It's Jose, isn't it?
Yes. Carlos Guillen's a good ball player.
All right. You've got Miguel Cabrera in the middle of your lineup. That's a hell of a lot of hitting to add. You got Maglio. You got Placido Polanco, who hit .341 last year. And Granderson is a top-notch ball player and an excellent defender. They can play defense. The point about shortstop is a strong point, and I don't know how to counter that. And Todd Jones.
Well, I got one way to counter it.
Yeah.
And that's to look at the Cleveland Indians pitching staff.
Yeah, and use quality pitching.
I mean,
there?
Using your theory, Fausto Carmona is their number two.
Yeah.
He might be the best number two in the American League.
Yeah, but he can't beat the Yankees.
Well, that may be said, but, I mean, you also got Westbrook and
Lee.
Unfortunately,
their number four pitcher can beat the Yankees. Paul Bird is hell on the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Indians, for sure, are a quality team. And many people have picked them to win the entire deal. Indians-Cubs, I've heard. That's a solid pick.
I don't like the Indians.
No? Why not?
Because I think that the Tigers are too good.
Well, any team that can field a guy named Annabelle, or Asdrubal or whatever. That
Asdrubal, is. Right?
Asdrubal. That's right. Annabelle plays for the Marlins.
Asdrubal.
It might be a tweener.
I don't think the Cleveland's lineup is as deep as the as the Tigers is, but it's close.
Listen to this. Grady Sizemore, Asdeep Cabrera, Travis Hafner, Victor Martinez, Ryan Garko, Johnny Peralta, Casey Blake, David
DeLucci. Yeah, and then David DeLucci. And
David DeLucci, for the life of me, I don't understand why somebody doesn't give him 500 at-bats. I just don't get it. He hits everywhere he goes. And, frankly, I can't read the name of their right fielder. But he's batting ninth, so it's not...
Franklin Gutierrez.
All right, I don't know much about him. But I think 1-8, they're consistently good, whereas the Tigers are great in the middle and maybe not quite as good at the bottom. I like the Indians lineup a little better. It's kind of a toss-up between Joe Borowski and Todd Jones. You got your suck and then your suck ass.
You really suck, yeah.
but who in that division is going to do better?
I don't think
is Carmona as good as everyone says.
Healthy. I think he's still carrying around too much weight.
Who's that?
Everybody that's saying that Sabathia is the Cy Young winner it's just a joke.
I agree with that. I think Sabathia is oversold.
Yeah, I think he's a good, really good pitcher, but I don't think he's the best.
And Fausto Carmona and Jake Westbrook have had great games, and then the next day that they go out there, they might just suck. And that's why I'm taking the Tigers over the Indians, because of Verlander and Bonderman and Willis and Robertson. But let's talk about my twinnies for a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
The best closer, certainly in the division, Jonah.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And one of the better closers in all of the American League, or possibly.
I think top three.
Top three maybe in all of baseball.
I think you got it. You're talking Rivera, Papelbon, and Nathan. 1, 2, 3.
All right. I don't know about this guy for the Dodgers, but.
Well, I mean, he's top five, but he's not top three. Right.
Wait a second. Mariano Rivera, Jonathan Papelbon, BJ Ryan, Todd Jones. They're all right there with this guy. You're
Todd
telling
Jones
me Joe Nathan's going to have. What, 47 saves? They're not going to win that many games. You can't tell me that this guy's the premier closer of the American League when his team is only going to win 83.
Yeah, but he's going to save 41 of them.
I don't know, because I don't know that they're going to be ahead close games that often.
Of course they're going to be close, because they can't fucking hit.
That's true.
And that's why you're not going to see him. That's why he's only going to have 26, 27 saves.
You got Joe Mauer. You got Morneau. You know, you got your Nick Puntos. Little Puntos.
You got Mauer and Morneau.
And that's it. Yeah, this is the New York Mets West. Except they have a good closer. They've got a brilliant starter. As a matter of fact, it's a lot like the Mets. They got two guys.
They have Johansson. Oh, excuse me.
They have Francisco Liriano. They got two guys that can hit and a better closer. It's the New York Mets West. The problem is that they're the third best team in the division, possibly the fourth. It just depends on how good Mark Burley and Javier Vasquez and Jose Contreras. Talk about an old team.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They really are.
The Sox are beat.
And a homophobic manager.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
And actually, the surprise club in that whole division may be the Royals.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, they're not going to win 80 games, but they're going to do better than they did last year.
If only they had one major league hitter. Just think what they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of pitchers there. They can pitch.
Yeah, they've got some pitchers. And they've got some young, up-and-coming hitters.
Mark Tien's a major league hitter.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. I don't know who the hell he is, but I'll give you that just out of charity of my heart.
Who was that that you said I didn't hear?
Mark Tien.
Mark Tien.
Right?
I like Mark Tien.
Yeah, Alex Gordon obviously is the name kid right now.
Tony Peña Jr. is good for 125 strikeouts. It's, you know.
Alex David, 247. You know, let's face it. We're talking about the Royals here.
Their outfield is not exactly bad either.
No?
I mean, they got David DeJesus, Joey Gathright, Jose Guillen, and Mark Tien.
I would like to see a foot race between Gathright and half of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point. All right.
They are quick.
I think the Royals have a shot at knocking one or two of the Central teams toward the basement.
Oh, I think the Royals win more games than Minnesota. No doubt about it.
Wow.
I'm serious. Royals? I'm serious.
I think they finish ahead of the White Sox, but I think that the Twins win the division. Wait, what did I say? No, of course not. But I think the Twins are going to be competitive, so I put the Royals ahead of the Sox.
If the White Sox are going to be finishing fourth or fifth, Guillen's got to go as manager, right?
Well, unless you want gay guys on your team.
unless you don't want.
I don't know. I don't really care. I'm sure there are gay guys somewhere in the major league now.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I really don't care. I didn't bring it up, and I'm sorry I extended it.
That you continued it.
Yeah. All
right.
Like the Tigers.
I like the Indians.
I'm Tigers.
I have to like Cleveland.
Bummer,
it's
Manhattan.
Painful, huh?
That was hard for you to say. All right, on to the East.
The best.
The one we've been waiting for.
Best division in baseball. Well, there's two teams in the American League East that have a shot.
Oh, there's three teams in the American League East that have a shot.
There are four teams in the American League East that are good. This is the best division in baseball.
Well, if you can't say because of the Giants, then you can't say it because of the Orioles. I mean, you know.
I forgot
Yankees
about
the
Orioles. I thought there were only four teams in this division. What the hell happened to my sheet here?
There's five, and the fifth one is the Orioles, and they're going to lose 100 games this year.
It's a fair point. I take it back. But I like the
you're,
Rays.
You're convinced that they're going to lose 100 games.
I think they're going to come really close.
They're going to not only lose 100 games, they're going to lose 3 million fans.
It's such a great ballpark, too.
I know people have been there and they love it.
I went last April and it was a gorgeous Sunday afternoon, and it is what a great place to see a baseball game.
Is Angelos the problem with them, do you think? Ultimately?
Yes. Well, it's so broken now that it's going to take a long time to fix. But what they're saying, and I mean, I work with a lot of people who work right there, is that he's actually leaving. The GM, what's his name, baseball family guy, alone to fix it.
Is it Larry McPhail?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if he does leave him alone for 3 years running, they might get something together.
All right. I great respect for Larry McPhail. How the hell do you get rid of Eric Bedard?
They felt like they weren't going to sign him. I mean, that's not unusual to the Baltimore Orioles. Because a lot of teams lose guys that they say we can't spend the money.
Well, this is a team that sold 4 million seats for a long time. They have a number one starting pitcher. They have a young left-handed starting pitcher. If you're ever going to build a team, you start with the number one pitcher. I just don't understand that.
You don't have to write the check, Max. When you know that you're going to lose a million fans to the first year in the new ballpark an hour away.
I understand what you're saying. I completely disagree with it. I hang on to Eric Bedard with all of my tiny little strength. No way do I get rid of Eric Bedard. I'll sign him. I'll give him a check. I got no problems with getting rid of Miguel Tejada, but I'm paying Bedard.
Yeah, the day before the Mitchell comes out. Not that that had anything to do with it.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. All right, let's talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. Are they the best team in this division?
No.
No.
They're a good team in this division.
All right, let's look at number two starters. A.J. Burnett, Daisuke Matsuzaka, Andy Pettit, and James Shields. And forget the Orioles because they only have – well, they don't have any pitchers. Who's the best number two pitcher?
Daisuke.
A.J. Burnett is the correct answer. Next!
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has
them. Yep. Yes. And there's
the problem.
Only one, John McLaughlin. Go ahead.
The problem with Toronto is that Burnett has been hurt on and off regularly. And I like McGowan. I like McGowan a lot too.
What was that, man?
They've got a.
I just said he's going to break again. I mean, he can't get through a year.
Who?
AJ Burnett.
AJ Burnett.
Well, that's the key. I think that's the key right there. McGowan, I don't like.
I like him a lot.
He lights out the other night.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, it's true.
If we're looking at this year, Toronto swept the Sox, and Baltimore would be taking the East. So, something to consider.
Yes. I think the term was, no, more slowly than that. All right. The Tampa Bay Rays, they've gotten the devil out of them.
Yeah.
Can hit. They can really hit.
They can really. And they can run.
Yes, sir. This is a good Major League Baseball team. They have a great number one young starting pitcher who's broken. And James Shields cannot hold up to the max competition of number two starters.
Right.
But this team's going to win some games. They're going.
And they don't have enough. They don't have enough depth in their pitching roster to after that. I mean, after right. Shields, they've got nothing anyway.
Right. Right.
Sonnenstein.
Garza.
I mean, they just don't.
Not in this division, they can't compete.
Although Garza's not, you know, if Garza moves up to the number two spot and does as well as he did for the Twins,
yeah,
he might not be a bad deal for them. He's still so young; he's only 24.
Yeah, I didn't know.
He's got a lot of pitching to do.
He's a good major league pitcher, and that gives them two good major league pitchers. Although one of them is broken, and they have Troy Percival. Is Troy Percival still a major league closer?
Yeah, but all the pounds that Brian Bruni took off, Troy Percival put on.
Yeah, all right.
I'm serious. Did you see him?
So
wow. No, I haven't seen him. But
so what? We're putting the Rays ahead of the Orioles on the bottom of this division.
We are.
Yes, we are definitely.
Can we
tell my BJ Upton story?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Did you guys hear this on Yes the other night? Because I don't want to be redundant. Why is he B.J. Upton? His name is Manuel Ibrahim Upton. And his father was a musician, and he's known as Bossman. And B.J. is Bossman Jr. Upton.
How about that? It ain't the catfish story, but it's a good one.
I like Upton a lot. I've got him on like three of my fantasy
teams. He's an outstanding player.
Get both of them. Get his brother.
Well, his brother hasn't proven that he can hit in the major leagues yet. But
BJ has Dalman Young, but he starts every day.
Yeah, but well, he
that's
can.
True.
He's proven that he can hit, but his problem is he hits umpires. next question: do the Toronto Blue Jays finish higher than third in the division?
No, I don't think so.
No. Unfortunately, they all play each other 19 times, and it's just not.
Right. I think they're going to be there. I think they're going to be in the mix, but I don't think they're going to finish first or second.
They're going to be in Toronto for 81 games. The answer is no. They're not going to.
Oh, no. Say it to us again like you did in that sanctimonious bullshit wave from a minute ago is the correct answer.
The correct answer is
be consistent. It's consistency in baseball, right? Didn't you say that as well?
A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds.
What the hell is that? You just peed on his verbal hands there.
That's Einstein, friend.
It sounds like a coffee mug.
Norman Einstein, right? Like Seisman said?
He's the janitor.
There's no geniuses in football.
Wow.
So now we come to the Yankees and the Red Sox.
The
question is, are the three young Yankee pitchers good enough to put them ahead of the Red Sox?
Maybe we should go position by position in the for the position players.
All right. Your left fielder is Johnny Damon. versus Manny Ramirez. Who's the better ball player? The correct answer is Manny Ramirez.
That's a broad question.
Yep.
He's Manny Ramirez is a better hitter.
All right, I'll give you Damon's a better fielder.
They throw about the same.
Which isn't saying much.
And one of them gets high more often. The correct answer is
Manny. Your expectation is that if one of those two teams is in the hunt in September, one player will gut it out and play baseball. The other will voluntarily shut it down. It's important.
Yeah.
Well, he's shown a history of doing that, that's for sure.
He saved himself for marriage. No?
I don't know what you mean.
He saved himself for the big game. Manny Ramirez sat down and then played during the playoffs.
Right. I don't know.
Let's go to center field. Jacoby Ellsbury versus my hero, Melky Cabrera. Who's a better
I take Melky.
Well, you know what? Melky. I think potentially versus what they've done already or what they've shown they can do. I like Ellsbury a lot, but I think Melky Cabrera is a better ball player right now. I think that he doesn't have quite the talent that Ellsbury has, but we don't know yet if Ellsbury's going to show all that talent or reach his potential, I guess, is the better way of saying that.
Correct. The correct answer is undetermined. Let's go to right field. Bobby Abreu and the great right fielder for the Red Sox.
J.D. Drew.
I'll take 53.
Yeah. This is a no-brainer. Third base, Alex versus Howell. You got to go with Alex?
No.
Versus Lowell.
Lowell, sorry. I beg your pardon.
I'll take A-Rod.
You think?
Yeah. You think?
Yeah. Mike Lowell is a tremendous ball player.
Former Yankee.
You got to take A-Rod.
Mm-hmm.
That's no question. Jeter versus – do the Red Sox have a shortstop?
They've got about three.
Yeah. Julio Lugo?
Lugo is one of the three. He made three errors today.
Name a better Red Sox shortstop.
Well, the kid they got down in the minors, I think, will be up soon. They've got
Is he better than Jeter?
No.
The correct answer is Jeter. Second base. You got the rookie of the year, I think, for the Red Sox?
Right, Pedroia.
Versus the best hitter in the American League?
Ansel.
The correct answer is Robbie Cano. First base. You've got
I don't think it's a contest.
Who plays first base? Do the Red Sox have a first base?
They have Euclid playing first base.
Versus Giambi. Actually, I think that's a pretty interesting matchup.
I have to give that to Uke.
Really?
I'm taking Uke.
Yeah, I mean, on base wise, even Euclid does really, really well. I mean, Giambi's an on base.
It used to be Giambi on base, but Giambi's on base percentage last year was horrid.
Yeah.
Could he be good again?
Euclid?
Yeah, his on base percentage is tremendous. He walks a lot.
The Greek god of walks.
The Jewish god of walks.
Jewish god of walks, right?
One of the great Jewish ball players.
I don't know about that.
You take Giambi over Euclid?
Yeah.
He can't. He can't throw the ball to home late in the game without one hopping.
So throw out 2007 because obviously Giambi didn't play well. Go back to 2006. He's got a higher on base percentage.
Does he?
He's got a higher batting average.
Over the course of his career, he's had a fantastic on base percentage.
Right. You can't go the last 2 years ago either because he was broken and injured and steroids.
But Giambi is going to either homer or strike out or hit to the right side where there are now five fielders every at bat.
Yeah, I think you got to go with Euclid on this.
Euclid's last three on Last three on-base percentage years, 400, 381, and 390.
Giambis, 356, 413, 440.
To me, it's a wash.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other. All right, so while you're looking, stat boys, how many games did they each play?
Good point.
You take out 07.
No. The last 3 years, how many games did they each play?
83, 139, and 139.
That's for
145 and 145, 147 for Euclid. He didn't play a full
44.
Year.
You want to go back to another?
Because he didn't come
year.
Up. He didn't play the whole year.
This is close. It's a close argument. The correct answer is
Euclid.
I don't think it's close.
I don't think it's close the other way.
Yeah.
I really don't like Euclid.
Giambi's got to come back and have a Giambi year in order for him to be better.
And I think he will.
Even it up.
Well, but then now you're basing your estimation on future predictions.
What you think he will do.
Well, this is what we're doing. The exercise is
right.
Who to go position by position. So
Jason
we have a 3-1 split, I think.
The correct
yeah, I think
is
so.
Right now, Giambi had two less home runs than Euclid in half the games.
Yeah. And
right.
It's because Euclid isn't
right.
a power hitter.
And how many
but what's the batting
points?
Average difference?
Or the doubles difference.
And how about points. How about range at first base?
Does Giambi get a tricycle or no?
All right, let's move to catcher. This is a quick one.
Not a problem.
No, it's not. Only one of them's working on his Japanese.
Is that because he's – you mean Korean because he's catching Chin Ming-hwa?
Can I go on record? There's an old joke about you have Jeffrey Dahmer, Hitler, and Al Sharpton in a room, and you have a gun, and you only have two bullets – and the answer is shoot Sharpton twice. I say leave the room, hunt down Jason Varitek, and kill him. I hate him. I hate that man so much.
He is a very excellent catcher. He is the captain of the team and a leader. But Posada is a leader and flat out a better hitter and probably a better thrower. The correct answer is Posada.
You'll get a lot of argument in Massachusetts on that.
You think?
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, but realistically...
Well, you'd get a lot of arguments in Massachusetts about Lugo being not as good as Jeter, so...
Well, yeah.
I mean,
but come
and
on.
And A-Rod.
All right, I will freely admit to being a Yankees homer, but let's face it. If you're talking about the potential of the shortstop in AAA for Boston, you cannot tell me... that person is a better major league player than Derek Jeter. I won't believe it.
No, I never was. I would never say that, but I'm just saying that.
All right, so we've got third base, shortstop, second base, catcher, and...
One outfield position.
Okay, so now can we go to where it counts on the, what's it called, the Mountain of Destiny? What did that guy call it?
Yeah, delivery. All right. Josh Beckett.
Delivery, Mountain of Delivery.
Beckett versus Wong.
Beckett versus yeah. Wong.
Beckett.
Does he have to be living to do this? If he is healthy, there is no question Josh Beckett is the better pitcher. How healthy is Josh Beckett?
Who's had the most wins the past 2 years?
Wong.
Tian Ming Wong.
Who has had
the most 14 ERA in the postseason.
We're talking about who's the better player, not the better postseason player.
Well, we're talking about winning the championship here.
He's got the most wins the past two seasons.
Yeah, and I've got the
how
most.
How can you blow by him like that?
Well, Beckett had as
because
many wins.
Because he had sucked ass the last two seasons in the playoffs. And
Beckett
Josh
had as many
Beckett
wins.
Has been the best pitcher in the American League. Come
and
on.
A better ERA.
And a dominating postseason pitcher. I mean, fair is fair. The only question to me about Beckett is, what kind of health condition does he have? And I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I mean, today, He started for the Red Sox.
Is that right?
And in, yes.
They got their ass kicked.
And in the first inning, he topped out at 99.
Ooh.
And in the fifth inning, he was hitting 97. And I believe he pitched into the sixth when he came out. He loaded the bases, and they took him out, and they brought in, I forget who gave up a grand slam. So three of those runs got charged to Beckett, and he got the loss, but it wasn't partially not his fault. Plus, he was tired. He had thrown a bunch of pitches.
I've got to go with Beckett. So, objectively.
Yeah, I like Chin-Ming Wong a lot.
Me too.
I like Andy Pettit a lot too, but Beckett's just the best.
Yeah.
Of that crowd.
Did he not win the Cy Young Award?
I think so.
You got to give it to
But Beckett. Now, what about your number two starting pitcher theory?
Well, I like Andy Pettit a lot.
Dice K versus Andy Pettit.
Dice K is the most overpaid, overpriced, overrated pitcher in the major leagues. He's a quality major league pitcher. He's a solid number three, maybe a number four. He's not a number two pitcher. Andy Pettit used to be a number one. I don't know what the hell he is now.
If he's healthy, yeah. He's up there.
Yeah, he's a guy that's going to give you a 4.5 earned run average and 15 wins.
Who's that?
Andy Pettit.
Right.
Dice
and
K.
Dice K last 15 wins and a 4.4 ERA.
Same thing.
Right.
That's a draw.
Well, there's one difference between the two of them.
What's that?
75 strikeouts.
Well, I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking more along the lines of injury.
Yeah. But also, Pettit had
elbow problems and leg problems.
Pettit had three games he left, about three games that he left with lead that the bullpen collapsed on him.
Uh-huh.
You can make a case that Pettit is the better pitcher. I know the Red Sox fans will say easily Dice K. I think this is a push.
Yeah, I probably agree. I think it's a push.
Next on your list.
All right, I will give it to the Red Sox.
Yeah? Yeah.
I don't believe Andy Pettit is going to pitch within 40 innings of what Matsuzaka is going to pitch this year.
Yeah, but is that a plus or a minus? Matsuzaka is highly overrated.
There's no doubt about that. Well, no more overpaid than a lot of guys out there.
No, yeah, and
remember,
it doesn't matter. Rather.
Remember, half that money he didn't get.
Right.
Half that money that his
That's
Japanese
true.
Ball club got.
That's true.
He's not making a huge amount of money.
He's making 51 over 4. No, he's making 51 over 4,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not Barry Zito money.
A year. Let's not call that the pocket change.
It's not Barry Zito money. It's not Johan Santana money.
Right.
It's not CC Sabathia money next year.
He cost the Red Sox $100 million.
Right, but he's not getting it.
I don't get it.
Is my point.
He cost the Red Sox.
It doesn't matter if he gets it or not. The Red Sox still say that he's worth it.
Right. They're laying out $100 million for a pitcher who's not worth $100
million. Yeah.
Andy Pettit's getting about the same in salary, about 10, 11. I don't care about salaries, to be honest with you.
I think he makes about 16.
Really? I don't care.
Yeah.
Number three on my list is Tim Wakefield versus Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes will be the rookie of the year. Tim Wakefield has sucked ass for longer than I've been breathing.
And Jason Varitek will have to catch him. Can you say pass ball, Vermont, Massachusetts? And
honestly.
No, that's why they have that kid Cash, and that's why they dropped Mirabelli. Mirabelli was Wakefield's designated catcher, but
yeah, why,
he only
didn't
hit about
Mirabelli?
30. No, they dropped him. They kept Kevin Cash.
Tim Wakefield is, in fact, an outfielder who couldn't hit. And he picked up a knuckleball, and he's been scraping by ever since. And if he's your number three pitcher, you suck. The correct answer is Phil Hughes, the rookie of the year.
I don't know that Phil Hughes is going to be the rookie of the year. I would like to understand why he's not starting tomorrow, though.
Starting
tomorrow.
Pettit's turn in the rotation? Wong pitched today.
No. Messina is pitching tomorrow, and he should pitch Tuesday, and I think it's supposed to be Phil.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good question. I don't know.
Wait, say that again, Pat. Sorry.
I said that's not the way they went through the rotation the first time.
They went with Messina.
They went Wong Messina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand.
But that's because of
Because Pettit was hurt.
Right.
It was supposed to be Wong Pettit.
Right. So your next choice is Mike Messina versus John Lester.
I think Lester's the clear winner.
Correct answer is Lester. Next, number five pitcher, Clay Buchholz versus Ian Kennedy. Undetermined.
Absolutely not enough data to make a
determination. Absolutely not enough data is the correct answer.
Although I will tell you this, Ian Kennedy, I liked him a lot.
And he sucked.
I really, really do. And he looked horrible on Friday.
Yes,
I don't know if nerves or if it was the cold or it was a combination of those things, but he looked absolutely terrible.
Moving on. The closer for these teams is Papelbon.
No, stop. Time out. Moving on. Middle relief.
There you go.
New York Yankees will blow the doors off most teams in the American League in this category all year long, and it's important. Because you have young people who might get shellacked, the Yankees are going to come back and win games because of people like Brian Bruni, who, by the way, is the only pitcher on the staff yet to give up a hit.
Fair enough. Bruni has a lot of good stuff. And we know about Jabba. The Yankees have some great young arms. Olerman there, I forget his name.
Ross Ohlendorf.
Ohlendorf.
And LaTroy Hawkins, who I know people hate, but I think he's going to be okay.
LaTroy Hawkins doesn't.
And Abelardo, or whatever his name is.
Abelardale. Yeah. LaTroy Hawkins does not belong in this conversation, and neither does Farnsworth. They will be gone before the end of the year.
I hope so.
However, the Yankees bullpen without them is better than the middle of the Red Sox bullpen. The closers, it's a push. They're both great.
And, you know, I don't think that the back end of the Red Sox bullpen is bad with Okajima and Del Carmen.
Right.
But it's the other guys, Aridsma, Corey, Lopez, I don't think is anything special. Snyder is not special.
You like Manny
Those
Del
guys
Carmen?
Aren't anything.
I think you
yeah,
got
Yeah, Manny Del Carmen. Manny Del Carmen is going to surprise a lot of people this year.
He had a real good
year last year. He throws really, really hard.
As long as you don't pitch LaTroy Hawkins, the edge goes to the Yankees in the middle of the bullpen.
You can't throw LaTroy Hawkins or Farnsworth. You got to take both of them out of the mix.
But you can live without them, and Girardi will do that.
Because you can't bring Farnsworth in without giving up a homer.
I think, speaking of homer, that's
inappropriately unfair.
What's that?
That you can't
about Farnsworth
within without a homer.
Because?
It's inappropriately unfair.
Because he sometimes gives up doubles with the bases loaded?
I'm going to lose this argument.
He sucks ass. You don't want to spend your time defending LaTroy Hawkins or Farnsworth.
Okay, we'll see.
A lot better guys to defend.
Let's move on. Push goes to the Yankees, yes?
No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
All right. The Penguin and Max say yes. Manhattan Man says no. Booth Boy, you want to make this a tie?
I'm not going to make this a tie.
Yankees.
Yep.
Correct answer is the Yankees. So, we have it. Yankees, Tigers, Seattle with the Red Sox winning the wild card.
Who out west? Mariners or Angels?
Angels.
I said I'd take the Halos.
All
right.
We definitely have a
Who is the American League? Who's the American League champ in the playoffs?
In a short series, you're going Yeah. I want
to. It's tough, isn't it?
I want to say the Yankees, but Tim Ming-Wong has never been able to prove that he can win in the playoffs. I like the kids for the Yankees, but I think I'm going to take a pass on this one.
Hughes is going to have to pitch.
You're going to take a pass. You're not allowed back on the podcast, and it's your podcast. You can't take a pass.
Well, listen, if I have to pick between Josh Beckett and Phil Hughes, I'm going to vote present.
I think a lot of it has to do with how well Phil Hughes does. If Phil Hughes has a really, really good year, then I think the Yankees can do it because he becomes that power postseason starter that they need.
Can Joe Girardi get more out of Chin Ming Wong than Joe Torre did? It's up to Wong.
You know, I think it's possible.
Starter and he sucks in the first game of the playoffs. You're in trouble.
Right. And not only that, but then Torre comes back with him when he could have done something else. Yeah. So,
if you want to bring managers into this, Terry Francona is a tremendous manager. I like Girardi.
It's real tough to send Poppy up there with a 2x4. It's a tough decision.
He can hit. The man can hit. We didn't talk about the DH. Big Poppy obviously is the plus DH. Matsui's going to DH for the Yankees. He's a solid major league hitter. You got to go with Big Poppy.
Yep.
Yeah, 30, 35 homers. Yeah. I mean, I like Matsui, but he doesn't have that kind of power.
I'm a homer. I'm picking the Yankees.
Yeah, I'm picking the Yankees too. I think it's going to be really tight, though, and I think Toronto's right there. I could see this going down to the last couple of weeks, and whoever wins by one or one and a half games, and the three of them are within four games of each other.
I'm going to call the Toronto Blue Jays taking the wild card.
So which one of the Yankees and the Red Sox doesn't
The Red Sox will not make the playoffs.
Whoa. A bold statement from Booth Boy.
They're
Is that the voice of youth and inexperience?
No, well, they're going to have injuries this year.
Is it going to be Beckett gets injured? Because if Beckett gets injured, it's all over.
The geniuses of Major League Baseball have determined that the last four games of this season will not be played in the Bronx so that we can close. It's just so annoying. It's just incredible.
Yeah, they're going to be in Boston?
Uh-huh.
Well, that sucks. That's a sad thing. You should at least close out Yankee Stadium at home.
Yeah, you would
but
think
it's okay
should.
Because the World Series is going to be there. So
yeah, it's okay because they're going to play a hockey game there in December.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, there's talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. There was talk about me having hair, but it didn't turn out that way. All right, let's go to the awards or something else here. Let's move it on. We're slowing down.
Well, we're almost done. Our time is just about out, so I think we might as well just kind of end it right here. Unless you want to talk, just real quick, Cy Young MVP.
Yeah.
We did that for the National League.
American League MVP, I think. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Carl Crawford.
Wow.
That's a pretty nice limb there, huh?
Tremendous ball player.
Well, it's a tough limb because they're going to finish in fourth place.
Yeah, but he's going to miss.
Brady Sizemore.
That's not a bad pick. It was a toss-up between Crawford and Alex Rios.
Wow. This is going to be a tough one, but I think it might be Manny Ramirez.
Yeah.
Oof, no. No way.
I don't think that means the Red Sox will win. I just think that he's going to carry them all year.
No, they'll just pitch around him, which is unfortunate because he probably deserves more MVP votes than he gets, but they pitch around him all the time. But then again,
well, and he also shares them with Ortiz all the time.
The rookie of the year in the American League is going to be Phil Hughes.
Yes.
Yeah, you said that before.
And I still believe it.
Alex, maybe?
Huh?
Alex Gordon. They don't give it to pitchers very often. They have to have really outstanding years.
Yeah, it's hard for me to see a Kansas City pitcher being the rookie of the year.
He's not a pitcher. He's a third baseman.
See there? I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, I don't know who Alex Gordon is, but I'm not going with him. But you
Cy Young?
Cy Young is tough.
That's it. That is...
Up until this week when Tigers lost five in a row, I was thinking Verlander.
Yeah, I'm still going with Verlander.
I like Verlander.
Well, you can forget that because he threw 109 pitches tonight and gave up five earned runs.
Really? Well,
they're
so
down,
much for
they're down 6-1.
So that makes them 0-5 to start the year. 0-6.
They'll be 0-6 in an hour.
I like Ryan Dempster.
Sorry, 7-1.
Ryan Dempster is my other choice, but I think I'm going to pick Verlander. And don't be surprised if you see young Mr. Bannister on the voting charts.
What about Sabathia and Carmona for the Indians? If the Indians win the Central and one of those two guys wins 19 or 20, they'd have to be in the mix.
Well, they could open a restaurant together, but I don't know about the winning the Cy Young Award. Sabathia and Carmona, come on down.
A tapas restaurant.
Yeah.
What about Bedard if the Mariners win?
I like Bedard, yeah. That's
If the Mariners win and Bedard wins 20 games and he pitches to a 3.2 ERA, 3.3, same kind of year Beckett had last year?
Yeah. That's a very real possibility.
Yeah? I think so.
The big ballpark's going to help Verlander again.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Well, listen, gentlemen, it's been wonderful. But I think the baseball extravaganza has has run its course.
Has met its match.
Has met its match, has meet its maker.
Can I tell you one baseball story?
Absolutely.
For the record?
Sure.
An American League story. Just, it's not clever or funny, but it's my personal baseball memory. I've often talked about Mickey Mantle and the effect he had on my dad's generation. And my first memory of Mickey Mantle was going to a game in Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame game, which, by the way, I hear rumors may be discontinued. And that would be a shame.
I did hear that.
And I remember going to a Yankees versus somebody Hall of Fame game about 1964. And my dad and my uncle pushed me up to the front of the line. They said, look, there's Mickey Mantle. And I remember two things about Mickey Mantle. He had enormous woolen-covered thighs. And he sounded like a horse. Because he click-clacked on the pavement in his spikes. That's all I remember about Mickey Mantle. I never saw his face. Just
he also had a scotch in his hand, right?
He probably did.
And a blonde.
And a blonde on his arm.
I'll never forget
Mickey Mantle.
The sound of Mickey Mantle walking into the ballpark from the bus.
Mickey Mantle is the most famous person I ever met.
You'd like to shake his hand?
Yeah.
Cool.
I shook his hand in a hotel bar at LaGuardia Airport.
Cool.
And got his autograph.
And was he as charming as hell?
He was drunk as a skunk and had the biggest smile on his face. He had one of those smiles on his face that said, I know something that you don't know. And I don't know what that is to this day.
It means there was a girl on the bus.
It might have been.
Oh, I got another story.
Everybody.
Just because I had to be silly. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Penguin.
No, I was going to say, nobody could find him. Everybody was looking for him to get his autograph. And I talked to one of the porters, and I said, do you know where Mantle is? And he smiled, and he pointed to this door. It was an unmarked door. And I went over and I opened it up, and it was a bar. It was a very, very small bar. And there was only two people in it, the bartender and Mickey. Mickey was sitting on the right end of the bar. And I walked over and I shook his hand. He signed my autograph book.
Cool.
And he had a scotch and soda in front of him.
Cool. I just thought of another story. I have to tell you two quick stories. One of them, I was in the gift shop at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And just to be silly, when I saw Keith Hernandez, I walked up to him and I said, "Didn't you used to be Keith Hernandez?" And he didn't know I was being silly, and he said, "I still am," and he walked away. And the other one is a story that someone you know tangentially from the Fantasy Baseball League told me, but it's a good story. His dad was up there, again, Cooperstown Hall of Fame game, Dodgers. Somebody his dad knew stole Don Drysdale's hat and ran away with it. And Don Drysdale ran down the parking lot and chased him down and had the guy on the other side of a car and like tried to run around the car, and the guy ran around the other side of the car. And Drysdale just looked at him and said something along the lines of, "I'm going to get my hat back." And the guy looked at him and was like, "He's serious." And he threw the hat at him and ran away, and Drysdale got his hat back. True story. It's all like
Jim Rome. Yeah, Jim Rome tells the same kind of story about Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Just a couple of years ago, Bob Gibson's like 67 or something.
Yeah.
And somebody cut him off on the highway, and he followed the guy for 20 miles, and the guy got off at a pit place to get some gas, and Bob Gibson pulled off with him, pulled up to the gas station, got out of his car, walked up to the guy, and punched him.
No kidding.
Yes. Wow. 67 years old. I thought that was a great story.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. But I guess if you're going to get decked, Bob Gibson is the guy to deck you. It's certainly...
Right. I mean, that's it. If you're going to lose it, you're going to lose it to him.
Have you heard the Bill White story about Bob Gibson walking out from first base?
No, I'm not sure.
Why are you here? What do you know about pitching? The only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it. Go back to first base.
Yeah, he was a bit of a competitor.
He was pretty tough.
They had an interesting discussion on FAN this past week. They were talking about, at one point, they were talking about the center fielders of the 50s with Mays,
right.
Snyder, and Mantle.
Willie Mickey and the Duke.
And then they got on to talking about pitching.
Yeah.
And how, you know, when you look at pitchers these days, you know, you, when you talk, you know, Santana, Beckett, Verlander, Peavy, and you've pretty much run your course of A number one starters, you know, maybe a couple more, but that's about it. But back in those days, there was a huge amount of pitchers.
Yeah.
You know, there really, really were. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Any recollection of the 1967 World Series?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
I believe it was 67 or 68.
With Bob Gibson?
The Tigers and the – yeah, it was 68. The Tigers and the Cardinals.
Right.
And Gibson won 3 games. And Denny McClain, who had won 31 games, won 1.
Right, because –
you remember that filthy slider that Gibson threw? Do you remember the 1.12 earned run average that Gibson threw that season?
He made them change baseball.
He made them change baseball. If you're going to – really, what better way to close out a conversation about baseball?
Than talking about Bob Gibson. He made them lower the mound and make the strike zone smaller.
Yep. He was that good.
All by himself, he was that good.
And that was the year of the pitcher. And,
yeah.
And do you know who won the World Series in 1968? The Tigers.
No, I don't remember. Was the Tigers because of
Mickey
Lolich? Mickey Lolich won 3 games, right?
Yeah. And what's Mickey Lolich's famous quote? "I don't pitch with my belly."
The David Wells of the 60s.
That's him. It was a great series. And Bob Gibson and Mickey Lolich is a pretty good place to end this.
Well, Gibson had 2 consecutive good World Series.
Yeah.
Because he was untouchable in 67,
against
too.
The Red Sox.
Yeah.
Tim Lomborg and the pathetic Red Sox. Oh, did I say that?
There you go. Yeah, you did. Well, listen, gentlemen, it was great having you all on. I really thought this was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Manhattan Man, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me along.
Boothboy, thank you for your expertise.
There you go.
Your youthful
enthusiasm.
That's
better than Max. It was great talking.
Absolutely.
I think we're out.